Amen. Let's get into the Word this morning. Are you ready for the Word? Just in case you don't know me, if this is your first time, we want to welcome you. My name is Perry Dismore. This is my wife, Nicole. If you'll raise your hand, that's my wife, Nicole, right there. And I love her very much, even though she made me do this. She is amazing. And we love getting into the Word. And like I said, these altars are open. Altars is where change happens. Altars is where many times we meet the Lord in special ways. And if you get up during my message and come and find a place to pray during the altar, you will not disturb me. Now, if you start hollering at me, that will. But you can come and pray anytime, and I'm very serious about that. I felt the Lord prompt me to tell that to you today. This morning, I want to start off by talking about heroes. Heroes. Heroes are people who do extraordinary things in moments that call for it. In August of 2018, a passenger boat carrying 24 people capsized in Nigeria. The occupants were thrown into the water. Without hesitation, a 36-year-old man named Joseph Blankson dove into the waters. He began to rescue people. When he rescued one person, he would go back to save another. One by one, Blankson pulled 13 people to safety. While he was attempting to rescue a 14th soul, he succumbed to fatigue and drowned. Joseph's incredible sacrifice meant that he was the only fatality that day. Wow. Think of the lives that were saved because of one man. That's a hero. There's several stories of heroes that I'm not going to take the time to share, but I'm going to take the time for this other one. I think about a man who did amazing things on earth. He healed the sick. He healed the lame. He cast out demons. All he did was good. But certain people hated him for that. They couldn't stand him, but he kept doing good. He kept on his mission. He thought of those who would love him. I wonder if he thought of the church in 2024 who would serve Jesus. He thought of those who would hate him. He washed the feet of those who would betray and deny him. Think about that. He forgave those who whipped him. He forgave those who placed a crown of thorns upon his head. And they pressed it on his head. I want you to see this thing. This is semi-real, semi-fake, if you know what I mean, and it is sharp. He wore this crown for you and I. And he forgave those who did it. He forgave those who nailed him to the cross through his hands and through his feet. He forgave them. Church, that is an amazing Savior. He became sin in the place of mankind's sin. He provided a way to eternal life in heaven for all those who believe. Think of all the lives that were saved by this man. That is a hero. He is a hero. He's still the greatest hero. He's still the greatest influencer of people this day. Jesus Christ is still the greatest man that ever walked upon this face of the earth. And I serve him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That hero changed my life. Jesus Christ changed your and my life. Without him, I am lost. Without Jesus, I am on my way to hell. Without Jesus, I am without purpose. And without Jesus, I am most miserable. I want to stop and take a moment and just tell you this. The gospel works. The gospel not only works for the hopeless, the defeated, the sinner. The gospel still works for the believer. We can still count on him for the gospel. We can still go to him when we're in trouble, when we're hurting. He still works for the pastor as well. I can tell you that I've needed Jesus more recently than ever before, and Jesus is still good. Hallelujah. The gospel still works. Today I want to look at lives. A theme of our Easter service is Jesus changed my life. Today I want to look at lives that have been changed by Jesus. Some are from the Bible, and some, like this one, are from the modern day right here from our church. Let's take a look at that first video.
Consider myself to be like a walking, talking example of how Jesus saves, and the amount of grace that he extends to all of us, and that it's vast and it's never ending, and that he's able to change your behaviors and change your lifestyle, and he's able to renew your spirit and absolutely restore you into who he created you to be. For a really long time, I was kind of living in this world and getting all of my answers from this world. And through my walk with Jesus, which has been, of course, most people know, like, had its ups and downs, but at the end of it, I can look at my life and where God has taken me and know that I'm on the right path and I'm taking the right steps, and I'm able to be here today as an intact person who feels whole and feels at peace. And not every day is perfect. There's always going to be certain struggles that we go through, but knowing that I'm not going through this alone, whereas before my faith was in everything that was wrong, and putting my faith in God just turned everything right.
Amen. Come on. That's awesome. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Let's pray. Father, I pray that there is life given today for those that are dealing in darkness, for those that are dealing with death, for those that are scared, for those that are lost. I pray that you would bring life today. Bring life to Freedom Church. Bring life to Tallahassee. Tallahassee needs more life from Jesus. And I pray that today, before we leave this place, that you will extend life to many souls today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus went to that cross, paid the price for my sin, was buried in a tomb. If he would have stayed there, he wouldn't be here today. This is going to represent the tomb. The stone was rolled in front of that grave. But something happened on that Easter Sunday morning. An angel rolled away that stone, and Jesus walked out in power. And because of that, we're here today. You know, if Jesus hadn't rose from the grave, he would just be another good man serving a good-intentioned life that ended in death. But his life did not just end in a normal death. He rose again and is alive today and is filled with power and is still saving lives today. He's saving lives here in America. He's saving lives in Turkey. He's saving lives in Honduras. He's saving lives in, where's Pastor Marco at? In Hungary. He's saving lives all over the world. Why? Because he rose again out of the tomb. Hallelujah. This is not just an American gospel. This is the gospel for the whole world. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I love you responding. Keep responding. He's alive today. We can pray directly to him. He's saving lives. Today, he's still giving life. Today, he's still giving healing. Church, he is still healing people. He's giving salvation, faith, encouragement, hope, forgiveness, peace to all who believe. Church, all we have to do is believe. We don't have to do good works. We don't even have to give him the offering plate. We just have to believe. He exchanged his life for ours. We just have to believe. Hallelujah. That's a pretty good trade. That's a pretty good trade, folks. Hallelujah. My prayer is for the world to have life by the power of the name of Jesus. My prayer is for you to have life. Not death, not defeat, not misery, not living in hatred, but life. Because of Jesus, people's lives were changed. You and I are no different than the people in the Bible. Technology is different, but they needed a Savior, and so do we. Amen. Culture is different. Times are different, but we're all still the same. I want to look today at three people in the Bible who were changed by Jesus. We can relate to at least some of these people, all of them, or parts of what they've gone through. The first one... is the man in chains. Jesus still breaks chains. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Ever seen this guy walking down the street? This is somebody we would avoid. We would cross to the other side, but let me tell you, Jesus crossed the lake to get to him. That's the difference between us as humans and Jesus. Jesus looks for this kind of person. Jesus looks for the one that's bound up and hurting and in chains. Jesus goes to them. Why? Because they have no power over Jesus. Jesus has all the power over them. Hallelujah. I love the fact that Jesus crossed the lake while Christians crossed the street to avoid. Help us, God. There may be chains all over you today. Chains of sin, addictions, habits. Chains of things you're not proud of. You see, chains represent the hold the devil had on this man. He was lonely because no one wanted to be around him. He acted crazy, howling in the wilderness. He couldn't even live with the living. He had to live with the dead. There's a lot of people today that would rather live with the dead. They will find solace or peace in the dead because they cannot stand living with the living. Let me tell you, Jesus wants to set you free today. He couldn't be constrained. You may say, well, I'm not like that. I'm not howling at the wind. I don't see anybody doing that. But let me tell you, there are times we've had chains in our life. There are times where every one of us have had chains in our life that have kept us bondage somehow, somewhere, some way. And Jesus has had to break the chains in all of our life because we are living in the sin-filled, sick world. And we need Jesus to come and bust them up tonight. Anybody say amen? Amen. But see, then Jesus showed up. He crossed the lake just for him. Without getting into all the details, Jesus cast the demons out of him, cast him into pigs, and gave him a new life. Where he was running around almost naked or completely naked, now he's completely clothed. See, Jesus changes lives in more way than one. He gives us modesty. Now watch this. Verse number 15, we'll pick up the story. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. How many need Jesus to show up in your middle school classroom? Need some perfectly... Okay, I see some teachers' hands. All right, I know, I can't pick... Yes, you do, some of your classmates. Thank you for being honest. I love that. Perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. I want you to notice that. When Jesus shows up, not everybody likes it. When Jesus shows up, there's some people that are afraid of what Jesus is doing. When Jesus shows up, everything changes. Amen. Now watch this. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. There's some people who want Jesus to leave, but I say, Jesus, you are welcome here. Amen. Jesus, you're welcome in Freedom Church. You're welcome in my home. You're welcome in my car. You're welcome to come and hang out with me. I want Jesus in my life. Amen? I want Jesus. Don't be the crowd that begs him to leave. You see, they were begging him to leave because they couldn't stand what they were doing. It made them feel unholy, unrighteous. Church, we need to be a part of the crowd that welcomes Jesus. Hallelujah. I love this part. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no. What? He says, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. He began to tell everybody what God had done for him. What a testimony that was. Amen? Jesus changed this man's life. Jesus is still in the chain-breaking business. Amen. Let's watch video number 2.
If you ask me how Jesus changed my life, we are living in a dark world. Everything is designed to be shiny, but it's not the light of God. And we are designed to live with God. We are designed to love God. But I always had this question. What am I pursuing? What is the goal of life? Like, should I pursue like education? Should I pursue money? Should I pursue like all the other things? As I said, all of them are shiny. After I believed, like I'm not always thinking about, oh, what is good? What is bad? Is it good enough for God? Am I doing the right thing for God? No. I accepted his blood as a free gift of salvation. And he told us how to live a life to love one another the way that he loved us. He never asked, oh, did you do this right thing? Did you do this like oh, you did this bad thing, I'm not gonna love you anymore. This is not how God approaches us. And he saved me from being worried all the time about what is right or what is wrong or what to pursue, because now I have a goal. Whatever goal I have in my mind, I'm doing that because I want to serve him. Because I want to serve his community, I want to serve his kingdom, and I want to serve the body of Christ.
Amen. Sina comes from a Muslim background, and the Lord saved and touched his life and gave him a new life. Amen? The second person from the Bible is the woman caught in adultery. Jesus forgives sin. Let's read from John chapter 8. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." This would hurt. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." I want you to hear me very clearly. Jesus is not in the condemning business. Every one of us deserves this. Our sin deserves this, but Jesus takes it away. And he gives us forgiveness. He gives us grace. Jesus asked two questions. He did not preach or lecture at her. How many have ever got some good lectures from your parents? How many would rather have a spanking than a lecture? Jesus asked two questions. He says, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No." And then he said two statements that changed her life. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Church, we've got to get a hold of this in our heart today. Church, we need to live a righteous life. We need to be about that. Go and sin no more. That needs to be part of our prayer. But Jesus does not condemn, does not keep his thumb upon us. He is just loving us back into the kingdom. He continues to love us and love us and love us and love us. Someone say amen. Amen. When we deserve the rocks, he gives us the grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus isn't in the condemning business. He's in the forgiving business. Do we believe in living righteous? Yes, we do. But that's through Jesus Christ. It's not through rules. It's not through trying to be perfect. It's only through him you can be righteous. No matter what the sin, this woman was guilty. This woman had shame. I do want to say this. What about the man? Where was he? If she was caught in the act, there had to be someone else. The man. Where was he? See, they weren't interested in forgiveness. They were interested in trapping Jesus. This might have even have been a trap or a Pharisee that was used. I'm telling you what, when the world system gets into it, it messes everything up. Jesus alone can save us. Jesus wants to set us free so we're no longer a slave to sin in our lives. I'll never forget being back in church when I was just a kid. My dad was a pastor. Little church, probably could sit and fit in one section of this beautiful sanctuary. And my dad would be preaching, and I was probably 7, 8, 9 years old. And for some reason, I had the goof arounds. Anybody know what the goof arounds are? Man, I was goof. I see some fingers pointing there. I had the goof arounds in church, and I was drawing. I was playing with my friend, and we were doing something. I don't know what it was. But my dad had had enough. And as he was preaching, finally he says, he had a famous look and a famous snap. And he gave the look, and he said, Perry, we'll talk after church, and you're going to get it. That was all I heard the rest of the service. I mean, I probably got saved 100 times between that. All I could think of was after church, I'm going to get it, after church. And man, I was filled with shame. I was filled with guilt. And you know what, though? After church, I went up against the wall, and everybody was saying goodbye, shaking hands. And one man in the church said, it's going to be okay. And he gave me a piece of candy. I don't know if it helped, but I remember that to this day. We lived about 40 feet from the church. It was literally right next door. And Dad and I met. He was a man of his word. And he set me free. There was consequences. But let me tell you, my dad would usually pray with me. Sometimes he would cry. But I learned not to have the goof arounds in church. I learned to be respectful. My dad had a way of pinching. He had a great pinch. Like if we were ever in line somewhere and I was misbehaving, wham, man, he could just really. There was a little bit of corporal punishment that day. But let me tell you, I knew the love and the grace of my dad, who taught me how to love my Heavenly Father. And I know sometimes we deal with shame. There's guilt. There's things we do wrong. There's moments that happen. And we wish we could take them back. But I want to tell you, Jesus is still in the forgiving business. He's not only in the setting free from chains and breaking chains. He's in the forgiving of sin and shame. Aren't you thankful for Jesus today? And the stone was rolled away. It was rolled away, so he has the power to do it. Amen. Amen. He not only threw the stone away, he rolled the stone away. That's good, man. I just thought of that. All right. Now, number three. The third person's a little bit different from the Bible. This is the religious leader. Even good people need Jesus. Even good people need Jesus. There's a lot of good people here in Tallahassee. They think they're good. They think they're okay. Nicodemus was a good man. He was the greatest teacher in Israel during his time. But still, there was something missing. He thought he was just fine. And then he met Jesus. He saw something in Jesus that made him curious. So he goes to Jesus at night, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So Jesus began to talk to him about being born again. And let me tell you, Nicodemus believed. This good man went from knowing the law to knowing Jesus. And look what happened at the end of Jesus' life. John chapter 19, verse 38 through 40. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds, that's a lot of pounds, of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices and long sheets of linen cloth. Not even his own disciples buried him, but Nicodemus did. You see, Jesus wants to save good people. Well, Pastor, I haven't done all those bad. Jesus wants to save good people. Because good people are still in need of a Savior. Your goodness is not good enough for heaven. Your goodness is not good enough to earn you a spot. It's not about your goodness. It's about His blood and His salvation. Amen? So no matter who you are, no matter where you fall in one of these three stories, Jesus wants to enter your story to make a difference in your life, to give you hope and a future. Take a look at this last video.
Christian household, and I was saved as a child, so I'm blessed in that I've always known that Jesus loves me, but it took me intentionally seeking a relationship with the Lord as an adult to truly understand the depth of Jesus's love. It took me stumbling in my walk with the Lord, experiencing heartbreak, loss, sorrow, and having to let go of everything that I thought I wanted or needed, to trust in the Lord completely and see that in the midst of all of that, Jesus was there with open arms, and He always made a way for me. When I didn't know what the next stage of my life would look like or how I would get to that stage of my life, Jesus provided for me. I've seen the Lord work in my life through so many people, through family, through friends. I've experienced so much love, grace, and forgiveness from Jesus. And it just fills my heart with so much gratitude. And I just pray that everybody would get to experience the fullness of Jesus' love, because it truly changes your life forever. It changes your perspective on life. It changes the way you choose to live your life. And choosing a relationship with Jesus will always be the best decision of your life.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? See, Jesus loves good people. Jesus loves you and I. See, Jesus changed my life. He's changed your life. Will you stand with me today? Let me just tell you how much Jesus loves you. This happened this past week. How much Jesus will go to get your attention. And it might be right here during this service. But this happened this past week. Last Sunday, a week ago, I went to the hospital to visit Nick Griffith's dad, Winston. And I brought several of those cards with me, invite cards. And while I was in the hospital, I prayed for Winston. Sitting right across in the hallway were two guards. The two guards.
Okay, I found.
Somebody's always listening. These two guards were listening to me, praying for Winston. As I walked out that hospital door, one of the guards says, "Pastor, where's your church?" He heard everything we said and did. He heard me pray. I ended up talking to him and praying for him and the other guard. They were guarding a pastor, a patient right across the hall. I left. Nick and Mary, who was visiting Dad, went out and talked to him for another 10 minutes. Invited him to church again. He says, "Well, I work on Sundays, but maybe on Wednesdays I could be there." There's more to the story, but God used that moment to touch that man's life. This past Wednesday, I'm telling the story to those that are here in Wednesday night crowd. I didn't realize this guard had slipped in. As I'm telling the story about Rob, the whole thing. And then we go to prayer. We're praying for churches. And this man walks up right here. And I'm like, who is this guy? That's what I said to myself. He goes, I'm Rob. He didn't have a security guard hat on. I didn't recognize him at first. And I grabbed him and I began to weep. And his wife was here, and I grabbed my wife. We went back and we all began to weep together, because God can take a hospital visit to make someone know that God still loves them. He told me yesterday that he's working on getting Sundays free so he can be at church with us. And it was awesome to see, as Mike and Trish prayed with them a long time, that God wants to get your and my attention. Hallelujah. And he's willing to do it through whatever, through a service, through a friend reaching out. And I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and God's getting your attention, these altars are open. Father, right now, in the next few moments, you're reaching to people. You're beckoning to people. You're calling them. You're saying, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you're here today, this is my prayer for today, right moment, right this moment. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't know him, and today you want to, would you just raise your hand all over this place? Is there anybody here? Yes, thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you. In the name of Jesus, can we just give the Lord praise this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give an invitation for you to come, for those that raised your hand, to take that response, just like I did at that test when no one else was, and I looked around and I just stood up and was given an A. Let me tell you, if you respond to Jesus, he'll respond to you. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. And I'm going to ask if you'll come down. I'm going to ask some of our prayer warriors to come down and meet me here. Some of our prayer team, will you come? See, you're not alone. If you raise your hand, you're not alone. In the name of Jesus, we're just going to wait. Hallelujah. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need healing today, if you need a touch of the Lord before we go out and do our egg hunt, I'm going to ask if you'll come. Find one of these prayer team. They're going to pray for you. Prayer team, make sure you talk to every single one in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.